What is up and welcome to the CrossFit Team Podcast. Let's go ahead and talk about strength and conditioning and its relationship to pain when it comes to recovery, rehab, and what exactly we need to know and how we need to kind of think about strength and conditioning principles as physical therapists. So recently, Greg Lehman posted on strength and conditioning and how quote-unquote advanced principles aren't important for recovery, mainly pain, and that PTs already know enough to kind of use strength and conditioning in the clinic. Now, Greg Lehman is like king PT in my eyes. He's done a lot of thought leading and forming ideas as far as my own when it comes to just rehab in general. And so when he made the post that strength and conditioning aren't really as important as a lot of folks tend to think, or that physical therapists already kind of know their way around, I was a little taken aback, I guess. There's a special place in my heart for strength and conditioning, and I'm aware of that bias, and I've been very vocal on that bias here in the past. And so I think that that's probably why this non-confirming of my bias stance took me by surprise. Now, Greg has been pretty outspoken on how, you know, strength training isn't really that important when it comes to pain. And I will actually agree with him on that. You know, there's a tough spot when it comes to strength and pain as far as their relationship goes, because stronger isn't always better. And we can make an argument that there's not really a great relationship between how strong a muscle is or how strong somebody is and their kind of pain perception, because pain is more complex than that. And pain has more of a kind of nebulous or flowing or finicky relationship when it comes to the strength of somebody, right? The kind of old trope is that if there was this floor or ceiling effect where somebody was so weak that they were just always in pain, or somebody was so strong that they would never be in pain, then we would have a better understanding of strength and pain and their relationship. But what ends up happening is that the strongest people in the world still get pain, and you know, the weakest people in the world, or a lot of weak people in general, don't have pain everywhere, right? It's not that they're just having pain in muscles that are too weak or not hitting the threshold of no more pain, but the relationship of strength and pain is just not super well documented or a really good place to kind of hang our hat. And so I understand what he's saying as far as, you know, when it comes to physical therapists and their understanding of pain, they probably know enough of, or I'm sorry, and their understanding of strength and conditioning is they probably know enough to do well. And there is a lever that I want to pull here, a thread that I want to pull on here, in that there's this issue when it comes to things being considered to be working, or when the only measure that we have is one that is subjective, right? I've certainly put out presentations on this in the past, all of the biases, all of the fallacies, all of the things that can contribute to people feeling better or reporting that they're feeling better, and how almost none of it can be related to the exact intervention that we're applying here. So when it comes to that sort of line in the sand saying, well, subjectively people can get better and they don't need a whole lot of specific things, I think that applying that to the strength and conditioning argument is a little bit tough as well, simply because, you know, if we're saying that the only measure that we're using to see if something is good or not is that somebody says they feel better, then I would agree that we definitely don't need anything as far as advanced strength and conditioning knowledge, because honestly, we can do whatever we want, and as long as the patient feels like they're going to get better, or as long as we believe that what we're doing is going to help the patient feel better, then it doesn't really matter what we're doing, so long as we kind of check those two marks. And so, yes, I would agree that if we're only concerned with pain, that we really don't need to know a lot of advanced strength and conditioning principles past 3 sets of 10 at a moderate intensity for things to work, because that's kind of the deal, is that for things to work, the patient just has to feel better, and really no other outcomes or things need to be measured for that to be considered. Now, the place where I deviate here is that I don't really like the idea that we're just concerned with pain as an outcome, right? As I said before, pain is finicky, pain is weird. And if you're a physical therapist, you've certainly fallen into the trap of only focusing on pain when it comes to creating an intervention plan or creating a plan of care, and really just being like, pain is the only thing that we're going to focus on and nothing else matters, then you kind of get hamstrung a good bit of the time, because we do know that pain can, you know, respond to a lot of stuff, and pain can respond to not a lot of stuff, and you can do all of the right things and patients can still feel pain continuously. You know, we have a persistent pain issue where we're not really sure kind of what the best route to take care of that is. We have a lot of pain management docs, a lot of chronic pain clinics, a lot of these places that just have a hard time because pain is this kind of tough thing to manage. And as physical therapists, I think that just stopping at managing pain, or the only focus that we have is that we should be ameliorating pain or reducing pain or modifying the symptoms of pain, kind of makes us draw the short straw, so to speak, right? We can do a lot more than that. And I think that that's where I kind of deviate here, is that just kind of saying that physical therapists, one and only thing that they focus on is pain. And so understanding strength and conditioning principles past what we need to manage pain is not really necessary, because that's the only thing that we're good for. And so I don't necessarily think that that is the case here, especially considering that, I mean, we can do so much more than just that. Also, I don't really understand the argument that, like, we don't need to know more about strength and conditioning, right? Because in my eyes, there's no negatives to learning strength and conditioning. There's only positives, and especially in the position that we're in with patients where we're this, you know, medical authority or this reliable figure, hopefully a good science communicator, we have this kind of happy spot to be in where we can get patients to be more active as a proxy or as a secondary effect of our plan of care, right? We can just create a plan of care that is very exercise forward, is very active, and we can actively, while they're right in front of us, produce not only symptom modification, symptom management improvements, but also health improvement outcomes that are associated with hitting these minimum activity guidelines for Americans, or really just like this, you know, minimum amount of activity, which there's no really minimum effective dose of exercise. And so I don't really understand the kind of poke at strength and conditioning principles outside of they're not as great for pain as a lot of people might think, right? We certainly don't want to be mouthpieces for big strength and saying that it's better than, you know, any other intervention for pain or for symptom modification, but it is, you know, far and away better, and certainly way better than a lot of other things that we include in the physical therapy space for health outcomes when it comes to things like, you know, strength and conditioning or, you know, osteopenia, sarcopenia, all these, and I'll go through these later, all these things that we kind of see that have this great response, this robust response, this reliable response from doing strength and conditioning. I also kind of am annoyed when it comes to poking holes in strength and conditioning in the physical therapy space, because we live in a society right now, a physical therapy society, where Con Ed sucks. Con Ed stinks. Over 50% of Con Ed continuing education is not supported by, you know, clinical practice recommendations, clinical practice guidelines, or high quality evidence for that, you know, for that point. And so, you know, I hear the argument from a lot of other people when I poke holes in things like passive modalities or manual therapy or things like that, where it's like, well, what do we do, right? If we don't have that and nothing works, then what do we do? And I think that there's a couple directions to go here. The first direction is getting comfortable with the fact that not a lot of stuff, you know, quote unquote, works well. And I don't feel like you need to go ahead and be a nihilist about things where it's like, well, nothing works, so we're just not going to do anything. I mean, we're all going to die anyway, right? But there has to be some sort of benefit to adding in strength and conditioning, and I think that is obvious, right? If a lot of the continuing education in our space is not evidence-based or is not given by clinical practice recommendations or high-quality evidence, then we can still look towards the things like strength and conditioning that are, you know, might not be recommended for pain, but also have a secondary effect, and really the only intervention that has a secondary effect. We add the fact that all of the Con Ed stinks right now, and that 40% of PTs don't know what the physical activity guidelines are, which is, you know, put out by the Department of Health and Human Services, as well as the World Health Organization. Two or more days of moderate intensity compound muscle strengthening activities across all major muscle groups, as well as 150 to 300 minutes a week of moderate intensity aerobic training, or 75 to 150 minutes a week of vigorous intensity aerobic training. Like, if you don't know that, I know that that's not a proxy for understanding the basics of strength and conditioning, but it's pretty telling if, you know, people like Greg are saying that most physical therapists or all physical therapists know the basis of strength and conditioning well enough that we don't need any more education. You know, if a big chunk of physical therapists don't even know what goal or what target we're aiming at, then I don't know if that's a great position to take, that they know enough to be dangerous, or they know, well, they probably don't know enough to be dangerous, but that they know enough that we can just leave well enough alone. So I think I'm here to mainly say I want to look past our kind of shackles, so to speak, or our job of just pain, of just looking past or just looking at pain, and really embracing that we can do so much more, especially if we consider that if we just don't focus on pain as an outcome and we focus on getting people as healthy as we can, getting them to return to meaningful activities, getting them to spend time in social settings, getting them to sleep better, getting them to eat healthier, all these things that kind of push the whole human forward, then the idea is that pain will follow in its decrease. And even if it doesn't, right, which I was saying before, pain is finicky, and relying on pain as an outcome or a cue to be done with rehab is not a good idea. If we can get people doing all these things where they're returning back to meaningful activity, they're having good social interactions, they're doing health promoting things like sleeping, drinking, you know, enough water, eating protein, exercising as much as possible, then that sounds pretty great, even if they still have pain. Now, I'm not going to say that we shouldn't be trying to facilitate an environment where pain is improving, but just focusing on the pain and nothing else is not a good idea. And I recognize that also that's probably not what a lot of physical therapists are doing, and that might be an easy straw man for me to build to knock it over. But, you know, it just seems like, yes, pain is this weird happening, and know that strength and conditioning isn't really a great way to affect it, but let's not just focus on pain. Let's focus on all the things that, as a medical provider and as a doctor, you know, for some of us of our field can, let's look at like the stuff that strength and conditioning can work for: building tissue capacity, decreasing risk of injury, decreasing kinesiophobia, increasing confidence, increasing self-efficacy, decreasing morbidity and mortality, decreasing things like sarcopenia, osteopenia, dynopenia. I mean, if we're only limiting to what pain is doing, then I think that we're going to have a hard time as a career field, especially considering that we need to kind of move forward as we see the career field doing funny things like decreasing reimbursement, like having, you know, more supply than demand. There is a need to branch out outside of just these kind of little things that we've been doing, and embracing more things that we can be doing, like, you know, coaching, like doing more strength and conditioning forward stuff, and things along that nature. So, you know, is Greg right? Yes, I do think that Greg is right in a sense. Is Greg wrong? Probably. I think that it's probably not the best take as far as, you know, where it cements us as physical therapists in the medical world, right? You know, if I were to superficially look at other medical providers, you know, pain docs, it might be better for them to not need to know strength and conditioning. But as physical therapists, I feel like we're uniquely qualified and in a unique position to utilize things like strength and conditioning and advanced strength and conditioning principles, so that we can not only create an environment where patients are feeling better because we're doing something, and their belief of something and our belief of something is probably going to help pain better, but also at the same time to create a healthy environment and create a world where folks are living for a longer time with less disability and a greater quality of life. So those are my thoughts, you know. Again, I know that I'm biased, and I'll reveal that obviously we have a strength and conditioning course that we push forward. I think it's great. And I think that strength and conditioning is the future of physical therapy. And I don't think that we should ditch it or accept that the one class or the one session that we had in physical therapy school on strength and conditioning or exercise physiology or exercise prescription is enough to get us by for the remainder of the life of our career field. So, let me know if you have any questions, pushback. I'm going to go ahead and link a few articles in the description here, but this was a good one. You know, I don't get a lot of things lately that really make my brain churn, and when folks like Greg Lehman say something, you kind of need to pay attention because he's a really good mouthpiece in our community for the most part.